Vet bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep, up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
You or Jayla? Yeah.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And T-minus for the listeners, 60 hours until we know who killed Aaron on Mayor of Easttown. This is not a Mayor of Easttown podcast. We're going to talk about this on Patreon next week.
You haven't gotten into a show like this since, I don't know, but you're a big Mayor stan. You're standing all over the place with this show.
Everyone's standing for mayor because I didn't watch The Undoing didn't watch a lot of these other.
I don't standing for mayor. Like, no,
everyone
actually.
Is
literally
it's the show of the year.
Everyone in Easttown is like, mayor, get the fuck out of here. And she's like, sorry, bye.
Mayor's definitely going to die. Here's my prediction. Putting it on the record now.
Don't.
This is not a spoiler. This is not a spoiler. Okay. This isn't about the killer.
Because I'm actually not caught up. I'm too behind in mayor.
My main prediction that, you know, I'm just putting it on the record. Is that the only reason Guy Pearce is in this fucking show is because this show is going to end with Guy Pearce writing a true crime novel in the vein of In Cold Blood, and it's called, you guessed it, Mayor of Easttown,
which is why this show had that insane name in the first place that we so love to, you know, lovingly rib.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. Mayor's a them. Also, this is our call-in show, and I'm not going to play This Is Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619 who them. I'm not going to play any of these because I would like to have the discussion. We got a lot of calls and tweets saying that we were wrong and maybe even offensive to call Jean Smart a who. I'm standing my ground thing, I think, though, right?
I mean, I'm still experiencing shame from my Leona Lewis flub, so... You know, the people really came for me, and
talk
my
about
public image
love.
Will never be the same.
I still think that Jean Smart, by the very nature of her acting niche, remains a who, though.
Especially I think the way
because
that
she
Jean
hasn't
Smart,
had a hit like this in a long time.
I also think that the way that Jean Smart is being cast is by people who think she's a who. You know?
She's sexy one minute, she's frumpy the next, she's funny one minute, she's like
she's a character
very,
actress.
Very tense and thrilling the next. Yes.
Could Jean Smart transition into themdom in this year's time? Sure. We never doubted it. But as of Hacks and Mare, I can't believe Jean Smart is on two iconic HBO shows at the same time and she's playing like very different roles. I'm sorry, but that is just, and you can't even
following
create
up
that
another
type
iconic
of.
Show. She was iconic
what?
In Watchmen. She's HBO's
oh,
like
she's
secret
literally
sauce.
HBO's ringer. I know, it's like HBO Max starring Jean Smart. HBO Max should be literally putting Jean Smart on like every piece of promotional material.
Uh-huh. We say that
she's
secret sauce is ketchup, mayonnaise, and a little bit of relish, but really it's just Jean Smart. That's it. It's just Jean Smart. Let's play some calls because we've done too much banter, but I liked having, like, I wanted a topic to get the blood boiling, you know, like the
blood
flowing.
Yeah, and you won't shut up about Mare, so is your blood boiling
I'll
now?
Shut up after Sunday. I'll shut up after Sunday.
I don't think you will, actually. I don't think
once
you
we
will.
Once we know that Phoebe Bridgers herself did the killing. Okay, first call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just had to pause the podcast. Excuse me. Your guys are the first people I'm talking to this morning. About Christine Quinn giving birth, because you guys were like, oh, the sea rose or whatever. But truly, on May 20th, the Scientific American article said that the world's largest iceberg breaks off in Antarctica. See what it says. An enormous iceberg, a little bigger than the state of Rhode Island, has broken off of Antarctica. the finger-shaped chunk of ice, which is roughly 105 miles long and 15 miles wide, was spotted by satellites as it calves on the western side of Antarctica's Rhone ice shelf. So, basically, Christine Quinn is responsible for this. There's no other explanation. Okay, love you. French.
We knew it. We knew she had the impact. The dates don't exactly line up. I will say that I looked into like when the iceberg actually broke off. It predated the birth, but it stands to reason the ice knew. The ice felt something. It's like whenever you go up to a pregnant person and you say you're glowing. In Christine's case, you're emitting the sort of wave that breaks off chunks of ice from previously like large sheets of ice.
The iceberg was like, I'm out. Just like broke off.
God, we were talking about this yesterday, and the thing about Christine Quinn, which I kind
what
of
is
put
the
together
thing about
yesterday
Christine
in text,
Quinn?
Is that I would call her one of the most important and fascinating and captivating reality stars of this generation, of this particular reality era, despite the fact that her role on the show is pretty one note, pretty boring. She doesn't do the most bombastic stuff, but the persona outside, I think that's the thing that she's mastered. She's mastered how to keep our attention in other channels. And she's so specific in the way that she is. Like, no one else is really like her.
But I think what you mean is her aesthetic is like gaudy and opulent, and like that is a rare, you know, aesthetic in terms of celebrity. Like, we have all these influencers who have aesthetics that involve like California vibes and like, you know, kind of the more typical, yeah, overblown photo of a bean salad or whatever, but like relatable. This woman is not relatable. She is out here being like, give me a giraffe like for my baby shower. Give me a tiger for my, she's like, you know, coffee date. Like, she is just not, she's just not on your level, and she never will be, you know?
Mm-hmm. She also is she's very the West Coast answer to Queen of Versailles, like sort of, she's from Dallas, which is a big city, but still like goes from the middle of the country to the big city on the coast and like makes the city, you know, her playground, like successfully lives this particular type of like, dream that doesn't exist.
It's like her saying like, LA is my playground. Like, that is like what you're trying to... Like, I think she said that before.
I mean, God. I'm
Christine, and LA is my playground. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she said that, but like, it sounds like she might, you know?
Also, we're not talking about Christine Quinn, the politician, by the way. We're talking about Christine Quinn, the real estate broker from the Oppenheim Group in Los Angeles.
Sometimes it takes us a while to say who she is. So I think every time people do think we're talking about Christine Quinn, or they just don't know who we're talking about, she's on the reality show Selling Sunset. She's a real estate agent, but like, she's so much more, you know?
The last thing I'll say about Christine Quinn today, but not the last thing I'll say about her in my lifetime, because I do talk about her every day of my life, is that recently I was Googling Christine Quinn and I saw it said birth. It said birthplace, Dallas, Texas. Education, the Juilliard School. And I was like, bah? So I looked into this and I was like, did Christine Quinn attend? Like, are we talking about the politician Christine Quinn? Because if so, that would also be weird. Like, who attended Juilliard and did she actually attend Juilliard? And I found, did she actually graduate? And I found this, which is really funny. Again, this does not explain anything, but it is exactly the type of answer you will get about someone like Christine Quinn. Number 7 on the 10 things to know about her. She studied at Juilliard. Christine's desire to work in the entertainment industry certainly isn't anything new. She attended the infamous Juilliard School in New York City. However, it's unclear when she attended or whether or not she graduated.
What?
Which is perfect.
What?
Everything about Christine Quinn needs to be up in the air, except the ice, which is floating on top of the ocean. So,
oh my God. Oh my God.
Next call.
Hello. So I paused the pod to do a Google image search of Mamie and Grace Gummer to see how indistinguishable they really are, and the answer is they are. They're indistinguishable, but one of the results was an article on how to tell the Gummers apart, written in 2013 on Vulture.com by none other than Lindsay Weber. How soon we forget. Good form, those horns. Crunch, crunch. Bye, bye.
It just, what's really pathetic is it, obviously I have a terrible memory, but like what it really shows is that history repeats itself. And like, I'm just on a cycle, baby. Like, I'm just like cycling around the same sun. Like, I'm just me and Don Gummer just doing circles, laps, just coming back to the same points again and again and again and again. 2013 was 8 years ago.
That predates Ricky and the Flash. I can't believe that. And what's funny is that the article is very good service journalism, yes. But the problem with the Gummers is that even whenever you explain it so well and quite succinctly, like I feel like I get it really quickly. The moment I scroll past to like the leave a comment page, I've forgotten everything about it. You know, like,
well, clearly the moment I wrote it on paper, I forgot everything about it. Literally put it down to paper, got it published, and then said, who, you know? And I don't even address the third Gummer. Not very good service journalism, I think.
The model. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's her name?
Louisa.
And I'm Louisa. Next call.
I'm Brigitte. You didn't tell me how old you are, Louisa.
I'm Brigitte. She's Louisa. She's 13 years old, and you're smart. I'm 10. And I think your dress is the ugliest one I ever saw.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. Long time. I guess I am your Jhené Aiko Big Sean correspondent because this is my second time calling about them. And you played one of them. But I had to pause the pod you guys were talking about, Big Sean's open door. And you mentioned that he's dating Jhené Aiko, but you keep talking about he's super zen. And that's why. She apparently has had a huge influence on him, because that's what she's all about. She's all about being zen. She does the sound bowls and crystals, and he mentioned about, like, I'm so sure that she had an influence on all these crystals and the copper rings he has all over his house. And another thing, you guys said that you're surprised that they didn't become, like, they didn't elevate each other's status by being together because they're such a big, you know, they're both big names. I think they're both them. The thing is, so do you remember they had a, when they first started dating, they made a band together, a group together called the 88. So that's the who here. The 88 is the who. So them separately, them. They're a them. The 88, their group together is a who because it didn't go anywhere. But the reason I think that they didn't elevate each other is because, like, when I called last time and I told you guys, there were all these allegations of cheating, that he cheated on her with Nicole Scherzinger. And prior to that, Jhené Aiko lived in his comment section of his photos. Like, she was, like, always, like, posting about him, always commenting, always, like, and they were, like, a big-name couple. And then after that, and they broke up for a little bit, and they got back together, it's been silence. And sometimes they'll post each other randomly, but I kind of think that they just didn't like the public being in there and like having opinions about their relationship and doing all this. And so, yeah, that's what I think happened. Or maybe, you know, she's doing the Khloe Kardashian thing where she was embarrassed. He embarrassed her. And so now she's staying with him, but she's just going to try to not post about it and not admit to it. I don't know. But yeah. Big Sean and Jhené Aiko are both them. The 88 is a who. And Tim Tebow lesbian. Crunch, crunch.
Not to counter the caller's Jhené Aiko and Big Sean's expertise, but I think the caller's talking about 2088. The album, I think they called themselves 2088, not The 88. But still, the point still stands. Wow. They're both them.
You're going to correct the expert caller that called in?
Well, because I knew about that album. I was like, wait, I knew the album was called 2088. Did they call themselves The 88? This caller is the correspondent we need. But also, this is probably the last time we're going to talk about either of these people because as the correspondent has declared, they're them. So we're done.
Are they them? So the caller said,
I mean, I guess
yeah,
we did just
them.
Talk about Kate Winslet, who is a them. So, yeah.
I mean, you never know who we'll talk about. We're unpredictable. But yeah, she.
You
I
never
like that
know
he,
how
the caller,
we'll be in an episode.
I like that the caller was like, their vibe, like, his vibe is clearly her vibe. Like, clearly she has an impact on him. Because I know when they first got together, it was like, kind of like, are they together? Are they not? Maybe, da da da. But now it's like, they are together.
Look at his aesthetic. He has ripped it straight from Jhené Aiko's rule book. So Thank you, caller. You're such a good correspondent. I love our niche correspondents. Next call.
Lindsay, Bobby, there seems to be a fourth man added to the Taika Rita Tessa thruple. Who is this man? He was there that same day? I'm so overwhelmed and confused. Please help me. Okay, crunch, crunch, Tim Tebow lesbian, good form, Bella Thorne.
Who was this man? Caller, it's very obviously an Australian twin named Zach Stenmark. Of course it's someone named Zach Stenmark. An Australian twin.
Was his,
I cannot believe she was making out with an Australian twin.
What was his twin there too? Unconfirmed.
Unconfirmed. The only person we saw Tessa Thompson smooching in the street was the twin Zach, not the other twin.
How do you know it was Zach and not the other one if they're twins?
Because that's what Daily Mail said. I trust Daily Mail.
Okay, but how do they know which twin it was?
One of the twins probably called them.
Hey, this is a Stenmark twin, and I was smooching Tessa Thompson. The people also spotted him. He was like in the photo, like watching them canoodle, like he was sitting to the side, like watching that happen.
Now to a beautiful example of how when one door closes, another can open. Identical twins Zach and Jordan Stenmark missed out on their dream of being AFL football stars. But as Bradley discovered, they're now strutting the catwalk as international models.
That's her brother, yeah.
The 20-year-olds have been doing a lot of impressing lately and undressing for the likes of Calvin Klein and Tom Ford.
Way I've been to countries that I never thought I'd, or parts of countries I never thought I'd get to go to.
They only took up modelling after missing out on playing AFL with the GWS Giants.
I guess they're opposite worlds as such, you know, from being the tough sort of grunt of footy to the, you know, chic, you know, clean, like perfection of, you know, fashion.
She could have been smooching Zach or Jordan.
Yeah, I think they're fraternal twins. So there's like obviously differences. They're not identical. But what I appreciate, and I think what says a lot about Tessa Thompson's character, is not only is she a troll, a them troll, but she realized that the first set of pics that went viral, the ones where she's like triple kissing Rita and Taika, they left this guy out. And she was like, you know what? I want to give this guy his due. He was there too. I'm also smooching him. I want to give him some press. So she did a favor. I see that as a favor. I see that as Tessa Thomas
troll.
Being incredibly
she's
generous.
She's trolling.
I wouldn't have known about these people if not for Tessa
and these
Thompson.
Photos were not like far away like the other ones. These were up close. Like they were just waiting outside for them to
oh, they were
the
like,
house.
Tessa, give us a smooch. Tessa.
Give us a smooch.
Yes. First of all, Daily Mail using the word smooch in a headline is really killing me. Tessa Thompson emerges from her Sydney home after kissing Aussie model Zach Stenmark ... following her three-way smooch with Rita Ora and Taika Waititi.
We say smooch as a gat. Well, I mean, I say it because I think it's hilarious, but I didn't realize that they were also saying smooch. Three-way smooch.
Yeah, I saw this story, and I think this was The Guardian or the Sydney Morning Herald. It was a Sydney newspaper, and it said, in bed with the Stenmark twins, Australian models, Jordan and Zach. And it says, Australian models, Jordan and Zach Stenmark, chat about their early days in the industry, being banned from watching Zoolander, and convincing people they really do have distinct personalities. And I'm like, well, now it's going to be easier, because one of you smooches Tessa Thompson, and the other one doesn't. That's how we can tell them apart.
I still don't believe that either, that the Daily Mail is sure which one of them smooched Tessa Thompson. I'm
sorry, Tessa is
either. They look so much alike.
The lead of this story, the Stenmark twins are on a mission to improve your sleep against the Stenmark brothers, who have become household names both in Australia and abroad. I'm like, excuse me, citation needed. I need some receipts for this because I've
Babe,
never heard of these people in my life.
I'm sorry. Give me a receipt that anyone knows who these people are abroad. Sorry. As someone who counts as abroad, I am abroad and abroad. I don't know who these Stenmark twins are. They are not a household name. They're not being said in my household. And I say a lot of names in my household, you know? And these are none of them.
Now, I've got you sharing a mic. As twins, that's just your life, isn't it? You're used to it a little bit?
Look, it is. I mean, sharing is caring, but I will always take what I can get from him because that's the part of the battle of being a twin. Oh, as long as we don't have to share a suit, I'm happy.
Oh, there you
me
go.
Me too.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tessa Thompson just called this guy straight up twin. Nice to meet you, twin. I had a great weekend, twin.
Why would she
My
do
Uber's
that?
Here, twin. She doesn't need to know. They have to spread out the press on this movie. You know, they're going to be in Australia for a while now. They're letting it drip, drip, drip out.
It's already so overwhelming. I'm already like, what will he get next week? What will happen next week?
This is only the beginning. What's going to happen next?
Hello. Long time, long time. Anna Kendrick is on a Roku original show called Dummy, which I am not going to click on. It's on my screen. So my question is, in 2021, with a Roku original show, is Anna Kendrick a who or a them? Crunch, crunch.
This is a who or them. We're doing a who or them early. I think. Well, let's see.
This is rude to Anna a little bit. If only because why Anna Kendrick is on a Roku original show is because, as you know, the streamer who we were obsessed with like last year are the Never Meant for This World streaming service Quibi, the apple in the Katzenberg's eye, the doomed from the start short form streamer that assumed everybody was going to be watching videos on their phones, crashed and burned, and sold all of their inventory to guess who? None other than the Jonathan, what's his name? Mean Girls guy, the Mean Girl Guy Network, the Mean Girl Guy New Year's Network, Roku. What's his name? Jonathan?
Who are you talking? Wait, what are you talking about?
He hosted New Year's on Roku.
Oh, Jonathan Bennett. Jonathan Bennett.
Is that his name?
Yes. Hello, Times Square! We're almost 2 hours away from the new year, and I gotta say, after a wild year like 2020...
I got very confused.
I dragged it out.
Quibi sort
purpose.
Of puts me in a spiral, yes.
So Roku bought all of Quibi's content, so now you're gonna see all this weird content that looks really prestige-y rolled out on Roku, which is gonna be hilarious, and it already is hilarious.
Is Anna Kendrick a who or a them?
She's a them.
She's a them.
Do you agree?
Dummy, no? However, is a who. Yeah. I just wanted to hear you say it.
It's just funny to me that Anna Kendrick has the lead HBO Max show that everyone forgets about, Love Life, and had a Quibi flop that got sold to Roku. It just shows how things are really not, you can't really predict over here what's going on. You can't define people by their streaming services, you know?
She's also in some Netflix movie where she's in space, and I've never taken the time to actually click on the thumbnail of her in space smiling because I just like can't get over the idea.
I
want to
watch that. It's called some reason Stowaway.
It's right? called Stowaway. I just
SpaceX just launched 4 people up into space. Did you after filming this? Did you have any more of a desire to go to space or less?
I started with a zero desire and came away with even less.
Yeah.
There's not enough money in the world. I couldn't, I would rather be like in a vat full of scorpions covered in boils.
Yeah.
The very idea of like floating around in space and being like trapped in a metal tube with strangers. No.
The point is there's something about that particular type of bubbly energy that doesn't work in space. Like, you want your space person to be like morose and a little thoughtful, like Anna Kendrick in space. I feel like space would just reject her. They'd be like, space is full. Sorry, Miss Kendrick, space is full. You can't come in. This is not for you. It doesn't work.
I could see her on a rocket ship holding up like a packet of like freeze dried ice cream, being like, well, what's this? Like, this is crazy. Like, we're supposed to eat this? You know, like in a very, you know, like. Who wants dessert?
She would like it. She would tell the astronauts how much she likes space food, and they'd be like, please, for the love of God, shut the fuck up. Like, you have, who else do you have in this show? Daniel in this movie. Daniel Day Kim and Toni Collette. Both of those people, perfect for space. I think that they are perfect space actors. Anna Kendrick, not a good space actor.
I didn't know
actor.
That space actor was a genre. You just made it up, I think. Who else is not good for
people
space?
People we've already talked about. How about this? Kat Dennings doesn't make sense in space.
What do you
if
mean?
If Kat Dennings were in space, I wouldn't believe it.
Okay, who else? Christine Quinn.
Who have we talked about? Kate Winslet, great in space. Kate Winslet would be so good in space.
Okay, well,
Kate Winslet
I think
would
she
be so
has
great
been
in space.
Space.
Jhené Aiko and Big Sean, they would be great in space.
Would they?
No, Kate. That's the whole thing. Kate Winslet never went to space. It never happened.
But in a movie, did
she
go
wanted
to, space?
To go to space? Well, she's filming Avatar. Yeah, she's about to be in space.
Technically, that's in space. You're right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting new category of actor you've created, space and not space.
Yeah. I mean, when you know, you know. There are certain characters that make sense in space, certain ones that don't. Listen to this. I'm on the Wikipedia for Dummy, the TV series that is now on Roku in the Roku City. The Roku City is also a
Oh my God, I love the Roku City. When the city is going by and you see the planes with their and they're pulling the banners and it says like Dummy starring Anna Kendrick and you're like, what? And then it says like, watch this local football game. And then it says like, you know, music and lyrics, Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore. And you're like, what? It's just the most random offerings. And that's what I love about Roku, you know?
I love that you're a Roku household.
Well, it's like, I don't want to watch Roku content. I just have the Roku TV. So it's not my fault that I have to go through Roku to get to my HBO Max, my beloved Mare, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mare! Okay, on the external link section of the Dummy Wikipedia, it says, okay, official website, Dummy, the IMDb link. And then it says,
you know, was nominated
which
for
is such
Emmy?
A portrait of April 2020. Unfortunately, yes, I did know that. She got nominated for like short form actor or something. I think those are the ones that they don't put on the air, by the way.
Sorry, short form actor is so rude. It just makes it sound like a short actor.
And most actors are short. Okay, listen, we're really on it. We're in a kooky little zany mood today, aren't we? Okay.
And also our call's a little batty, so we have a little bit of a timing issue as well. It's really,
I feel extra caffeinated even though I'm not. Okay, listen.
Okay.
The other two links on the external links are such a like time warp to April 2020. Link one, first episode of Dummy in landscape mode on YouTube. First episode of Dummy in portrait mode on YouTube.
I'm sorry.
I was like, ooh, which one will I click?
It gives you the option to watch it in landscape or portrait.
And Lindsay, neither of the links work anymore.
Okay.
Because Quibi let you flip it.
Well, I thought in my mind, doesn't YouTube let you just turn the phone and then it'll put it in another thing? But then I realized Quibi like shot them in landscape and shot them in portrait. God, what's going to happen to the Quibi technology that let them do that? Just die? Just going to die?
Taken that to Mordor. Like, that's long. That has been in the lava underneath Mordor for, like, at least a couple of months.
Oh my God.
No one needs that technology.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. So I'm looking for a new car, and I went to Honda's website just to look at Hondas, and noticed that they are doing a promotion right now with her, ladies and gentlemen, her, the Civic Tour presents her. You can win a virtual meet and greet with her. Enter the Honda Civic Tour sweepstakes and you can win a chance for a new Honda and a virtual meet and greet with her. This is the hooliest thing I've ever seen. I don't understand why they're working with her. I mean, more power to her. It's great. I'm very confused. Just thought you would enjoy learning that you can get a chance to meet her and get a new Civic. Tom Hanks 4. Crunch, crunch.
Do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
I finally understand. Her is totally playing the long game. This has reminded me of the Business Insider story from yesterday that was like, SoCal pop phenom Olivia Rodrigo's home congressional district could be reshaped in post-2020 census reappointment, where the politics writer, Grace Panetta at Insider, just uses like famous people in the headlines to like hack the SEO. Like,
yeah, it's amazing.
Her has the best name. Like, she has everything going for her. You can't help but say her name all the time. All the time.
Who is she? She is her. I just can't get over you can win a meet and greet with her. And it's like, who? It's like her. It's literally the who's on first of our modern era. It's just me. It's like,
it's
her.
The who's
who?
On first
her. Year. Yeah.
It's why Adele saying, ladies and gentlemen, her is so funny. It continues to be so funny. It's such a like base level like language joke. Always be funny. Who's on first will always be funny. Ladies and gentlemen, her will always be funny. Honda Civic presents her will always be funny. I'm honored to join some of the biggest artists in the music industry and bringing my unique perspective to the stage for the tour's 20th anniversary, said her. Like, I can't stop laughing at this.
Said her. Who? Her. She said it.
Ladies and gentlemen, her.
Well, Costello, it's time for you to buy a Honda Civic.
Look, Abbott, if I'm buying a car from Honda, I need to know all the details.
Well, there's going to be a big show. I'll tell you the names of the performers, but you know it seems to me they give these sponsored performers nowadays very peculiar names.
Like funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Halsey. Well, let's see. Who's performing at the 20th anniversary Honda Civic Tour? Her.
And you don't know her name?
Of course I do.
Who goes on first?
Her.
But what's her name?
Her.
The girl on first.
Her.
The first performer.
Her.
The girl playing...
Her is on first.
I'm asking you, who's on first?
That's the girl's name.
That's the who's name?
Yes, her's a who.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes, that's her.
Oh my God, that was rough. Y'all need a medal for listening to that. Let me tell you something.
No, that was so
You need to put
so
like a bloopy, bloopy, like vaudeville sound in the background. Oh
that's
my goodness.
So good.
Hey, it's her, and I'm announcing this year's Honda Civic Tour is going virtual. And guess what? I'm headlining. So I'm excited to take you on a musical trip like you've never seen before. And along the way, you can actually enter for a chance to win some super cool prizes, like a virtual meet and greet with me, or the grand prize, an all-new Honda Civic, which we'll be seeing a lot more of on show day. So be sure to go to Live Nation's Twitch channel on April 28th, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific. I can't wait to see you there.
Springtime vibes are in the air, and when I bring in some beautiful flowers that are blooming, I want to smell them, not the litter box. And I can, thanks to Pretty Litter. I'm going to correct this ad because I didn't bring any flowers in, but you know what I did cook yesterday? A big pot of beans. It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used Pretty Litter.
You're saying springtime vibes are in the air, and when I cook a big pot of beans, I'd rather I want to smell
beans.
Them,
yes.
Not the litter box.
I'd rather smell beans than flour. I'm trying to personalize
I don't think
it.
Pretty Litter would mind you correcting their intro with your own personal endorsement, which is that you want to smell your beans.
Yes. Delicious, fragrant beans with bay leaves and garlic and onion. This is all to say that nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra-absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month. So I know that when people come over to my apartment, they're going to be smelling whatever I'm cooking, whatever's in the air, you know, like whatever candle I lit. They're not going to smell what's in the litter box because it soaks it all up. Plus, the crystals change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in my cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. So when the colors change, you can tell your vet what happened so they know what to look for. And if that wasn't enough, Pretty Litter ships free right to my door. I never run out. I don't have kitty litter bags taking up a lot of space in my little apartment. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I was in Florida this past weekend, and guess what was... the talk of the town.
Your mom's Aura frame?
The Aura frame. The Aura frame kept, it was scrolling through every photo. I was like, oh, there's that. Oh, there's that. I'm like, where'd they get that photo? There's always a photo where I'm like, where'd they get that photo? How'd they get that photo?
I don't know where my mom gets the gifts that she sends me. Like when she sends me a text gift, I'm like, where did you find that? And sometimes I look at her Aura frame and I'm like, where did you download this?
No, I'm like, where did you get this photo from? Whose Instagram did you steal this photo off of? You know?
They love to steal from, and they love to just screenshot and not crop. So it'll just be like a cropped iPhone
it'll just be
photo
a full
that's
Instagram.
On the Aura frame.
Exactly, with comments and everything. It'll just be on. It'll be zoomed in sometimes, so it's extra blurry. But you know what? That's how easy it is to get the photos on the Aura frame because my parents can figure out how to do it. Do they do it well? No, but do they do it? Yes.
And the other thing that's great about Aura frames, when you give them to your mom, your mother, a mother in your life, a mother figure, it's a great Mother's Day gift, whoever the mother in your life is. You can connect it to your Aura app.
And
you
can
just
photos.
Send them photos. You
right.
can, if they approve it, you can just put photos and kind of troll them and have fun and put random photos. I do it to Lindsay sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
You can do it to your mom. My mom gave me access because she likes putting
You got
to
be careful. You got to be a little careful with that. But you could do it. But you should do it.
Got to be a little bit careful. But Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and they come with unlimited storage because it's all in the cloud. So you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame. Not only will she be grateful, it's not another sweater. She'll love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. So right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code WHO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. This is Beth. Larsa Pippen, Malik Beasley, and Montana Yao. So Larsa said that Malik cried too much and was cheap, but Montana called Larsa a thirsty blow-up doll.
please discuss because I'm living for this. Thank you. Tits out, Cassiopeia, Leanne Cuisine.
Okay.
How is this still happening?
We thought we were done with Larsa. Larsa's not done with us. This actually...
This woman will never be done with me, I feel like.
Okay. This is truly just an extension of what happened last year when we talked about Larsa Pippen last, when she was spotted, you know, gallivanting around the world, I think Miami, with Malik Beasley.
And then his wife was like, what?
Exactly. His wife, Montana Yao, was like, excuse me, you're holding hands with Larsa Pippen in Miami, and what's happening? We have a kid together. What's going on? Right? That was the old drama. You don't really need a huge refresher beyond that. I'm just saying you need to know that as a primer. The reason this current drama is happening is because Malik, it's because of Mother's Day, essentially. Malik posted this really borderline sweet, but I think really earnest actual apology on his Instagram to Montana for the way he behaved. And he said, he posted a photo of him and their kid together. What is their kid's name? Their kid's name is Makai. Photo of them all together, and it says, I want to say I'm sorry for putting you in the situation you were put in the last few months. My head wasn't where it was supposed to be. I was looking for more when it was right here the whole time. I'm telling the world and you, there's nobody like you for me. For the record, I was the one who ended my last relationship off the fact that there is no one like you. Again, he's talking to Montana. Also, for the record, I want to do my own ish because I just left you guys, and I def ain't the type to set up pictures in the mall and ish. Again, those are the ones with him and Larsa walking around. He says it's childish. He's like, I just want forgiveness. Forgive me for hurting my family the way I did. At the end of the day, I'm a lover boy, and I miss holding y'all and loving y'all. I love you much. I love you, my Kai. My family over thing, okay? So it's sweet. It's truly heartfelt. Like, this guy, he typed this out with his thumbs and his heart. You know, like, it's full of misspellings. You can tell it's really raw, whatever. Montana writes on her Instagram stories, essentially, thank you for posting this. Like, I appreciate you apologizing publicly. Like, that takes some courage. That takes, like, a lot of strength that you didn't have a few months ago, right? Good. Thank you. Let's move on. We're his parents. Let's try to co-parent, whatever.
We're both parents. Right.
Exactly.
Let's move on.
Exactly. But also, in a follow-up Instagram story, she gets mad at Larsa Pippen for not honoring, quote, girl code. She says, I couldn't find the original thing, but I found someone aggregating this. Apparently, she said, Larsa Pippen wouldn't know girl code if it slapped her in the face. And it's and she accused her of calling paparazzi every single day and every single man while she was with Malik. Okay,
I believe that.
Then she writes
Larsa Pippen has the paparazzi on speed dial for sure.
Oh my God. It's her number. It's her emergency contact. If you found Literally. Larsa Pippen in the street and you push the emergency number like TMZ would answer.
TMZ
and you'd be like,
show.
Oh. Okay. And it says, this quote, though, kills me. You need clout that bad at your age? Like, I'll be damned if I'm walking around behaving like that in 23 years, which is such a flex, like such a subtle way of calling out the age difference. All those fillers and surgery can't fix that insecure soul.
Oh,
go work
God.
On yourself. Read a book. Something to better your life while you still have the time.
Oh, my God. Read
it
a
is like
calling her old and telling her to read a book.
If it were most situations, you'd be like, that's ageist, that's rude, right? But in this particular situation, like, Larsa kind of threw this woman's life for a loop, right? Kind of ruined her life in a way. So I
mean,
get
obviously
it, right?
He has responsibility too. He has responsibility too, though. So clearly it's like not just
he took responsibility
on
too.
Larsa, but clearly she brought the attention to this thing. Like, he was doing something pretty illicit and she was like, I'm calling the paparazzi. Like, I'm making sure that this is like out there ASAP as soon as it happens. I just think it's I just think it's so down and dirty to be like, read a book while you still have the time.
Read a book.
Before
read a book, you
die
old
from
asshole,
old age.
Essentially.
Yeah, literally, I know.
You old asshole, be more literate, okay? And also, it's important to note that Montana's posts are very simple. They're white text on black background. Then Larsa's like, you know what? I need more attention. I'm writing white text on like a rainbow purple blue background because this needs more eyes on it. And she says, like, that's not actually what happened. She's like, I could go back and forth about this all day, but woman to woman, I would never do that. I need to clear up some misinformation. And then she gives three bullet points. Here's the truth about Malik. One, When I thought about him and how he treated your child, he's not the type of man I want around mine. Any man who would deny his child and then leave the mother penniless is not a real man. Okay,
wait, but she left her for you. Wait, but she left her for you.
Exactly. Exactly. She doesn't seem to grasp that. She literally doesn't seem to grasp that.
Yeah.
And then she says number two, which is like so unnecessary. He cried entirely too much, which if anything makes me feel bad for him. I'm like, he feels bad for leaving his wife because he got horny, right? And then he goes, he's cheap. But then again, you never saw.
It's just so funny how he left his wife for her. And then she said, I would never date a man who left his wife for me. Like, what? It's like, you are.
I know.
What? Also, he cried. Like, also, number three, he's cheap.
The mental hoops she's jumping through. Number three, he's cheap. But then again, you never saw any alimony, so you already know that. It's like so cruel. But here's the kicker. This is why Larsa Pippen, you know, I would call her. She has all the makings of a Christine Quinn type reality star. She just never had the chance because Real Housewives of Miami like was a flop. Remember, wasn't that the one that wasn't quite a real show? They like shoehorned it into the Real Housewives franchise. Whatever. Yeah. So she hasn't quite gotten her reality show that has made her a huge TV star, but I feel like she could if she wanted to, but she doesn't want to. Why? Because she has an OnlyFans. That's why she's promoting this. This is how it ends.
At some point, she also fucked up her Kardashian connection. We're not sure how that happened. Yeah.
But come on, the flex here, after calling Malik cheap and then saying that he cried too much and then saying like, we need to talk woman to woman. She goes, please join my OnlyFans. She goes, lastly, and please don't take this the wrong way, all my beautiful children that you reference will never have to read about how their father didn't claim them. You should be worried about the narrative you two need to create to distract yours from dealing with that reality. If you want to know the truth, subscribe to my OnlyFans. Sending peace and blessings to you both.
I cannot imagine anything I'd rather do less than... There's nothing I can't imagine I'd want to do less than joining her OnlyFans for more of this. Like, I don't want any more of this. She should be like, for this and nudes, join my OnlyFans. Like, not for just this.
But it doesn't even have to be nudes. Like, this is how she's teasing it. Okay, so Montana keeps going, but my favorite part, so she, again, breaks down her points. She follows Larsa's style guide, which is so funny, and breaks it down into 1, 2, 3, 4 bullet points. But then the end is, so the last one is, you're trying to deflect from the embarrassment of you. Lol, IDK if they're embarrassed of their dad. But you, on the other hand, not so sure, sweetie. And then she ends it with this. Montana's just so much better at this than Larsa. Now shut the fuck up and go working on getting one of those OnlyFans subscriptions up. Wish you nothing but the best in your new career pursuit. Get that bread up, which is extremely like good luck booking that stage you speak of to me. And
oh my
I'm really happy about this.
Good luck booking that stage you speak of.
This is just like so many times whenever you have these sorts of reality star feuds or like celebrity feuds, there's a sort of power imbalance here, but I feel like both of these women are working on the exact same level. You know, like both of them are like both at level, you know, 9. They've got it. They are the perfect people to be sparring because neither one of them really has the upper hand. And that makes it more fun to like enjoy as like entertainment.
I mean, it's also shady of Larsa to even like get into this because it's like this guy writes an apology, does not mention her at all. She says, we accept your apology. Let's move on. And then Larsa's like, hey, FYI, I'm here and I also want to say something. And it's like, no one called on you. You know, like.
She's the kid at the back of the head. She's the kid at the back of the class with the hand up that's holding the elbow like, to like keep
the
hand straight.
Call on me. I'm waiting. Yeah, like no one called on you. So don't come here.
Now
you know
shut
what
the fuck up and go work on getting those OnlyFans subscriptions up. Oh my God. Yes.
She is actually.
Good luck booking that stage you speak of.
Thank
you, caller, for bringing this to
Rihanna.
Our attention.
Hi, Who Weekly. First time? I was just on my Instagram Explore page, and I have to get the name right. I saw Bailey Madison, B-A-I-L-E-E Madison, and then it was some fan edit. So I was like, what is she up to? Because she was singing this churchy God song. So I went to look her up, and I typed in all these different versions of Madison Bailey, Bailey Madison. And then I realized that there's the other girl called Madison Bailey, and she's from Outer Banks. And my question for you is if Madison Bailey and Bailey Madison know each other, and who's who here? That's all. Good going, Bella Thorne. Thank you. Goodbye.
There's a woman named Madison Bailey, and then there's another woman named Bailey Madison. That's kind of crazy. The Baileys are spelled differently, but the Madisons are spelled the same. Very confusing. To the point where...
I'm trying to interrogate whether or not it is actually crazy or just funny. And part of me is like, maybe it is crazy. I think it's actually crazy.
I love a first name as a last name. That's a very big thing for me. Mm-hmm. First name thing. So it is funny that it's switched. It's not just like, oh, Bailey is a popular name and Madison is a popular last name. It's like these two have the switched names. So you can't even blame it on like the trends of names, you know?
And they're both the exact same age. So they're getting the same types of like YA roles. Exactly. They're both born in 1999.
So much so that Netflix once tweeted, I'm sure they like, this was like part of their content where they're like, Bailey Madison is in A Week Away. Madison Bailey is in Outer Banks. And then they had a picture of each of them with their names above their heads.
No, like trying to figure out the difference between these two women is very much like me asking a question in like my statistics class, which was the hardest class I took in college, where like uh-huh. you'd ask the professor Famously. For an answer. They would respond very succinctly and easily and say like, well, it's this. And then I'm just sitting there still dumbfounded like, this doesn't help me. Where it's like, no, Madison Bailey right. is the one in Outer Banks and Bailey Madison is the one in A Week Away. And it's like,
and
how
then you're
does
the
this
woman
help
with
me?
The, you're the one with the math like floating around thinking about the math. And it's like, it's like
no,
Bailey
exactly.
Madison.
And then I throw
Madison,
my graphing
Bailey.
Calculator against the wall. Exactly. This does not help me. I will say Bailey Madison has been in more stuff. So when you're talking
well, she's
about
a child
levels of
star.
Who-iness,
she's a yes. child star. And Madison Bailey appeared kind of, quote, out of nowhere because she was in Outer Banks, which was a huge hit. And that show was very, very popular. But Bailey Madison was like in like 1,000 Nickelodeon and Disney shows, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. I fell into a hole on Bailey Madison's Wikipedia because it says relatives and it said Caitlin Villasuoso. Uh-huh. Is her sister. And I was like, oh, is she nepotism? Is this like a family business? But Caitlyn's number one thing is being in the movie From Justin to Kelly. So I was like, well, never mind. She didn't get a leg up from this person at all.
Maybe a leg down.
That settles that. Madison Bailey's personal life, though, contains the iconic line, she is also pansexual and is dating University of North Carolina Charlotte women's basketball star Mariah Linney, which is like... What more could you want out of a personal life section?
That rules. Okay, I was wrong. I did want to know that. Now that I know that, I'm at peace.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Long time, all the time. Who is Olivia Rodrigo and why is Twitter freaking out? That's all. Got a lot of.
I already forgot what got a lot of her, by the way. Well, we did talk about her because of Driver's License, which, like, you know, blew up the internet. And now she has an album out, which is also blowing up the internet. It is interesting. I guess I'm not surprised that it's sustained, because whenever you have like this big single, people are looking forward to your album. And then your album, if it's good, is going to like keep that momentum going. Even if the album's not even that good, mm-hmm. it's still like people are excited about like a young, new pop star who has people talking about her, you know?
Hey, I'm Olivia Rodrigo, and today I'm going to be walking you guys through my beauty routine. This is the kind of thing that I do every day. I like to keep it pretty simple, so let's get started.
Hey, I'm Olivia Rodrigo, and I'm going to play a game of song association with Al.
Hey, I'm Olivia Rodrigo, and I'm at home with 17 to answer 17 questions.
Yeah, who came out of nowhere? We want our pop stars to come out of nowhere, and then we lift them up, hopefully, for the rest of their careers. And that's like the template that Olivia Rodrigo seems to be following.
Right. Like, she didn't technically come out of nowhere. Like, she was in, you know, High School Musical, the series, mm-hmm. the TV show. But in terms of for a lot of the people who didn't have familiarity with her before, all of a sudden this girl being somebody that everybody's talking about, especially if you're older or younger, like, you might be like, wow, this album that everyone's talking about, why is everybody talking about this, like, Olivia Rodrigo in her new album? And it's like, it almost is the weird like indie effect, where like a band kind of has a indie band that's been around for a million years finally has a song, and it's like, oh, they've been a band for 1,000 years, like, this is just a popular song.
Yeah, it's like when Float On came out. Dating myself. Yeah.
Wait, who? What?
A friend in high school. Like when Float On
oh,
was like
Float
a
On.
Hit single.
Right, of course.
And my friend who was like a big Modest Mouse fan was like, it's not even a good song in their like, discography. I was like, shut up.
So I feel like it's like for...
millennials, it's like it's this new thing. But then if you ask somebody who's like, oh, she's in High School Musical, the musical, the series, the
maybe
series,
okay,
you know, it's like, oh, she's been around forever, you know. But
right,
this
and
new,
the reason
that there's a new positioning of her as a, you know, a pop star, like a musician.
Remember when you swore to God I was the only person who ever got you? Well, screw that, screw you. You will never have to hurt the way you know that I do.
Exactly. And the reason she's breaking Twitter, as the caller said, is because she is just genuinely sort of like beloved by her target audience, which is people her age, which are Gen Z people, because they just love her music. They relate to her. She like represents a generation in this way. But the reason millennials are obsessed with her is because they are very, very hypersensitive, and they're confronting their mortality and they're losing their minds on Twitter.
I know.
And
that's what's happening. Everyone over the age of like 30 is like, I like Olivia Rodrigo. What does that say about me? Like, I feel so old. And it says
literally nothing about you.
Yeah.
And it says that she makes good music. You know, like she's,
you know,
I think millennials are getting distracted by the fact, and I understand the impulse.
She's young.
I do, and I. That she's young. But the thing is, pop music is universal. Like, pop, the whole point of pop music is that everyone loves it. You know?
Okay, that's, and pop music
that's
tends
literally
to be
the whole point
young.
Of it.
I mean, ask me when I first heard Best Friend by Sophia Grace. One of my favorite songs of all time. I was like, this girl's 9 years old. Do I feel old? No, I just love the music. It speaks to me. It's my number one girl. Because I love Best Friends.
Oh, my number one girl. I do love Best Friend. The other thing that has sort of been bothering me a little bit, if I can vent, is that like the new construction, the meme that's like, I wish I had Olivia Rodrigo in high school. It's like, we had versions of this in high school. We did. And I understand that like a singer-songwriter young woman is an anomaly and that like we should have more of them.
Sorry, but like, but have you heard Don't Speak by Gwen Stefani? Have you heard like Alanis Morissette,
they
the
existed
entirety
in other
of
genres?
Yeah, of course. Heartbreak music is not fucking new. Like, it's,
and like,
you know,
very recent history is the generation immediately prior to this one is had Taylor Swift. You know, like Taylor Swift's first album came out in what, 2007, 2006, something. And like, I was thinking about my own, you know, adolescence when I was 17. Like the music that you seek out, music that makes you feel something. It's just that the music that makes you feel something may not have been on top 40 radio the way Olivia Rodrigo is right now.
But I
like,
think it
the
was,
music that
though.
Made you feel something was like adult contemporary, or it was punk. Maybe Avril Lavigne filled a void as well. But like, you know, I sent you that Sheryl Crow song yesterday. Like, this music existed. But I think maybe Olivia Rodrigo just represents the most populist form of this music in a way
that's
really
just
cool.
It's just every generation has their that person that writes that type of music, and like she's that for them. But like, you're right, like the relatability of like a heartbreak song, which of course Driver's License came with an iconic real life narrative that we won't forget, like that really fueled it, no pun intended. But now you have an entire album that's kind of like that. You get my joke? Did you get it? Took you a second.
I got it.
Now you have, you know, this album version of it that's almost this like heartbreak ish album. You know, every time a pop star breaks up with their ex or whatever, we're always like, bring us the pop, the heartbreak album. Like Kacey Musgraves, like, here we come. Like, it's not, this isn't new.
Word.
This isn't new, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. You're right. That narrative is a little frustrating.
I just think it's a like, the only thing that bothers me about the particular way that she broke the internet, which I feel like we already explained, is that people are saying that they did not have this when they were X years old. And I'm just like, you did. You really did. This music has existed for like time immemorial. You know, like it just wasn't, you know, covered. It wasn't on a Sour Patch Kids box. You know, that's all. That's the only difference.
As a weekly, long time. Now that Olivia Rodrigo has released her album and she's really in the culture, on our way to a them. I'm wondering if you can rank the Olivias, which I'm pretty sure you did a long time ago, but now I feel like there's new Olivias entering the ring. So Olivia Rodrigo, Olivia Wilde, Olivia Munn, Olivia Culpo, and the other Olivia who tried to get into college, but her mom got caught. What is her name? Anyway, can you rank them from who he is to them? Yes. Thanks, Porkin Storkin. Bye.
This is hard. Because even like...
There's so many.
Even famousbirthdays.com is not good for this because, of course, Olivia Rodrigo is number one. But like then you don't have Olivia J till number five. And you don't even have Olivia Wilde till number eight. Where's Olivia Newton-John? Number 13. Olivia Munn's number 19. Olivia Culpo's number 20. What about De Havilland? Not on here. No one respects on here, Olivia De Havilland. Oh, she's 35. She's 35.
Okay. I'm looking at my...
Olivia Colman's 37. The shade.
I'm looking at... How about this for the list that we rank?
Okay.
Munn, Rodrigo, Wilde, Thurlby, just for fun, Palermo, Culpo, Colman, Jade, and De Havilland. I'm gonna rate mine from who to them. I'm going to go... From who to them? Here we go. Thurlby, Palermo, Culpo, Jade. Coleman, Munn, Wilde, Rodrigo, Davalin, number one.
You're saying Davalin is the who he is? Is it them he is?
Yes. Yes. That's my ranking. Final answer. What's yours?
It makes you sound elderly. Okay. Thurlby, Culpo, Palermo, Jade, Coleman. No. Coleman De Havilland, then Munn Wilde. No, then Munn Rodrigo Wilde.
You're done.
It. Yeah.
So your top is Wilde. Interesting.
I don't know. I got to the top and I was like, where am I? There are too many. I don't know. That was hard.
Oh my God.
That was like impossible. Also, I started losing track of who they were. That was hard. I need like
no. Truly, this was like playing Olivia Jenga.
That like, was like very unpleasant. Yeah.
I put De Havilland on top, and then the whole tower collapsed, and I don't know which one's which anymore. Like
I
don't
can't believe you put Havilland on top.
Fell down.
Like what do you like? You're it's like you're trying to like please a certain part of our demographic. I see what you're doing.
I do. There are so many questions today. There are so many calls that have actually. Kind of put an immersion blender in my brain. Like I feel a little hurt after doing this.
I think it's because we're taping later in the day and like both of us have like our third eye open somehow. We're all like hyped up versus normally I'm like half asleep and
right,
you're
we
like
usually tape in the morning and we're taping right now. We're taping at night, which is very rare.
It might be better. I don't know. It might be more hype.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. Calling because I'm catching up on the past 2 weeks episodes and I lost my shit when I heard you guys begin talking about Brendan Fraser. And I've called several times asking if he's a who or a them, and every time my call goes unanswered. But I'm hoping that since you guys have brought him up, you can just resolve this mystery and let the good hooligans of the world know if Brendan Fraser of The Mummy and George of the Jungle fame, if he is a who or a them. Me and Doris.
There's like a Brendan Fraser renaissance happening right now, but it's not the like typical reconnaissance or whatever, like a critical renaissance. It's a populist renaissance. Did you notice this? It's like weirdly a different type of what we normally see for an actor
who like comes back in the atmosphere. And I think it's because it's like, it's a mixture of like Gen Z, like saying how much they love The Mummy growing up, you know, and being like, we love Brendan Fraser, and him being on like children shows, or not children shows, but he's on like a show where he plays like a robot, right? And it's like really cute.
It's called Doom Patrol.
He's on the show called Doom Patrol. I just think it's like these tweets keep going viral that are like, Brendan Fraser, like, remember how cute he was? Remember how cool he was? Like, love him. And then they'll get like a million RTs or whatever. And it's like, okay, I didn't know that you felt this so strongly about Brendan Fraser, you know? But I think it's this weird, like, kind of populist, nostalgic vibe versus a kind of what we normally see, which is like a critical, like a role that gives them a critical bump or whatever. Well, they're respected again. We forgot they were a good actor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we love a reexamination in general. Like, we love to reexamine, but it's more fun whenever, when we reexamine, they get the all clear. And Brendan was reexamined, and not only did he get the all clear, like, we love his early work. So
yeah, there really isn't. Also, a little bit about how the Hollywood Foreign Press, Golden Globes getting canceled, they're all fucked up, and how Brendan Fraser was the one back in the day who was like, I was groped by a member of the Hollywood Foreign Press, and this is fucked up. And like, that got attention, but not the attention that maybe it deserved to really dismantle this terrible voting body that has been offensive since the day they were formed, you know? And now that we're like all on the same page about them, I think that he's kind of getting that second, oh, sorry about that. Sorry, we should have done more for you.
But I think, yeah. And is he a who or a them? One, two, three.
God.
Them.
Them? Yeah, like, maybe I'd be on the border before, but now I'm like, I guess I'm not.
To see people sort of fall back in love with him in the very, like, super yakky way, where it's just like,
oh, like the store, like wearing
right,
it on a hat.
Like, I want to wear him. I really want to stand this person as openly as possible. Like, I belong to this community of people that remembers him and loves him, and this community is big, actually. Like, I'm like a little overwhelmed by how them-y he is. It's like, oh, right. And the Mummy movies are great. They are great. Mm-hmm. Well, the first one is great.
They are fun. They're so
fun. Wow, he's a them.
They're so fun.
He's a good movie star. He is. And never forget, we just casually thought about Blast from the Past in a recent episode.
Casually, though.
Where on earth are you from?
Out of town, that's all he'll say.
Mm-hmm. It's a very small place. People don't even know it's there.
And it's called?
Maybe Eve can guess. She's psychic.
Is she? Mm-hmm. Since when?
Since I got re-rented in Palm Springs.
Well then, Miss Dionne Warwick, why don't you tell us what town he's from?
Hmm. All right. Give me your hand.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. I'm not promising anything. Are you okay? I see snow. Lots of snow. Way up north. Are we getting hot?
Yes.
Okay, and I think with that, we're finished. Unfortunately, we're finished with another episode of Who's There. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Keep calling in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song on Tuesday. Support us on patreon.com/WHO Weekly for twice weekly bonus episodes. And I think we'll see you on Tuesday with another episode of the main show.
I think we will. Bye.
You will. You will.
You will, Jayla. Yeah.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. Just calling to let you guys know that I am pregnant and Nick Cannon is the father. Godspeed, ho.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. I'm on 13th Street and 5th Avenue in Manhattan, and I just passed by Patricia Clarkson walking her dog. That's all. Love you. Bye.
Lee Pace was in Marmaduke.